Welcome. We now join Fred Kuhn and his guest.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. Fred Kuhn here. Our subject today is job search communication strategies, and our guest expert is Frank Grossman. You can read all about Frank on the guest bio section of the podcast website. Welcome, Frank.
Welcome, Fred. Good to speak with you this morning. I'm really excited about this.
So we're talking here about job search communication strategies. Is a resume all you need? What do you need to have a complete communication strategy?
It's a very good question, Fred. I don't think a resume is all you need anymore. Some might even say it's one of the least important things you need today, though it's still important. You need a LinkedIn profile. You should have a basic cover letter that you can customize. And most importantly, I think all three, and some people do four, a website also, but at least all three should be aligned. They should be sending the same marketing message to potential employers. Your resume shouldn't be saying, to take an extreme example, that you're a computer programmer, and then your LinkedIn profile says you're a computer salesperson or something like that.
Right.
You want to, just like somebody who's selling products, consumer products or services, all your job search communications should be communicating the same message.
I was looking at a resume the other day and thinking, it's a nice resume. What else are they doing? Because it is social media is where it's at. And we all know LinkedIn is the number one job search tool in the world. Used to be Monster and Career Builder and some of those type of sites. But recruiters, I know in our retained search division, we look on LinkedIn almost first to see about the person. And then if we're doing background checks, we look at Facebook, we look at other kinds of things to see if there's any kind of legal or risk exposure for that candidate. But in terms of getting a job, you have to have a multiple front act war, I guess. You got to consider it kind of a war. It's a war on getting this job. I've got to get this job or get a job. So what do I need to do that? And the resume, obviously, and the cover letter, LinkedIn profile, personal website, because you can do more in a personal website. You're not restricted. LinkedIn, you can do a lot more than you can in a resume. And the LinkedIn also gives you opportunities to have references on there talking about you, jobs you did, how well you performed, how well you fit in, et cetera, et cetera. So it's something that you cannot do yourself. And that I think adds to LinkedIn's benefit. What else do you need? And in your LinkedIn profile, how do you distinguish that, Frank, from a resume?
I think the LinkedIn profile gives you a number of opportunities. I tend to think of it as more fashion portfolio. We all remember years ago when we went to interviews, or at least those of us who have baby boomer generation, so to speak, remembers going to interviews with a binder of examples of our work. When I was downsized from the federal government years ago, I used to carry a binder with examples of GAO reports that I co-authored and things like that. Now, some of that same material is linked to my LinkedIn profile. It's de-emphasized because it was a long time ago, but it's still there if you look far enough down and are interested. But anyway, that's the first thing. I think of the LinkedIn profile as giving you an opportunity to put your portfolio online. Second of all, it's longer than a resume. It's not restricted to the one or two pages. And I know recruiters like yourself often like a one page as a resume. That's a whole discussion in itself.
It is. I don't care how long the resume is, as long as it gives me the information that I need to see if my company says that my client company that has hired me as a retained search recruiter says to me, I want a fuzzy left-handed purple squirrel, and your resume tells me all of that in one page, great. If it takes two pages, great. Generally, I find executives who've done mergers and acquisitions and very complex kinds of private equity work, they spill to three pages, and what's wrong with that? As long as I can look at it and glean that they're a fuzzy left-handed purple squirrel, if they come up just a purple squirrel, I'm not going to talk to them.
And that's an example of how the world has changed. That a couple of years ago, when I spoke to recruiters like yourself, they said, only give me one-page resumes. And now because you're looking at them on a screen, you're not looking at them on paper anymore. You know, it doesn't matter as much. Are they only one page? And in some cases, only two pages. I find with the clients I work with, and most are probably not at the level you are, but an individual contributor, first line supervisor.
One page is generally fine. I mean, if you look at somebody graduating in their first job, or maybe going into their second job, they probably can get most of it done on a page if they do it right or have it professionally done. Yeah, what bothers me is spilling over to another half page, and then you've got all that wasted real estate. You ought to be doing something with that real estate. It bothers me.
Yeah, I spoke to one of the larger resume companies that was looking for a subcontractor who doesn't allow the half page on resumes. Their resume writers are instructed either to fill one complete page or to fill two complete pages, nowhere in between. So I think that is standard in the industry and a good point. But getting back to the point of LinkedIn profiles, LinkedIn profile gives you a great opportunity to explain things. And since it's social media, the LinkedIn profile, though it should have the same, communicate the same messages in the resume.
Yes, it's a brand, isn't it?
Right, right. It's your brand. It should be conversational since it's social media. It should be, in my view, in the first person where a resume just leaves out the I, so to speak. Also, summary is your largest piece of real estate on the LinkedIn profile. I think it's, last time I checked, it was 2,000 characters. So it gives you a lot of space to write a good conversational summary because, in my view, that's often going to be all your reader is going to read. They're not necessarily going to look down at the details of each job.
It can't be, though, Frank, in my opinion, can't be just 2,000 words run together. It's got to be separated into paragraphs. When you do that, you lose some of the characters. And it's value, value, value. What value do I bring to your company? What is my value proposition? Do you get it when you read this? That's the key, I think.
I think so, yeah. And it should all be in the conversational summary because you don't know person's going to read down further to your accomplishments under each job, which should be there. And again, it should be aligned with the resume. Just because LinkedIn is kind of a form, it doesn't mean you have to have your whole 30 years of work history on LinkedIn. And I think the form is becoming more flexible than it used to be. It used to be really hard to try to do some things you should do on the resume. I think at one point you couldn't list education there without the dates of education, and that I know has changed. Somebody insisted I should have the dates of education on my resume, even though I wouldn't obviously do it. I mean, on my LinkedIn profile, even though I wouldn't do that on the resume. And when I experimented with that, first of all, I didn't like it because I don't want people to see that I finished college in 1980. But second of all, when I did that, my most relevant education doesn't float to the top. I think the important thing with LinkedIn is, first of all, to have a solid brand on the top. You know, you have, 120 characters for that. The solid summary, the solid conversational summary, I call it. And also take, as you said, take advantage of the opportunity to get LinkedIn recommendations, because having somebody else say it is more powerful than having you say it. And also to take advantage of the opportunity to link to a portfolio material.
What in general should you include in your cover letter and LinkedIn profile if you choose to include materials in your strategy? We talked about brand. What are some of the key essentials that should be consistent throughout your brand?
I think both the cover letter should highlight some key accomplishments that are relevant to the job that you're applying for. The cover letter should be customized for each employer. I mean, this is one of the things that I often have an issue with is people ask me to write them a resume and a cover letter, and I tell them, I'm going to do a resume and a customizable cover letter. I can put in all the general stuff that should be on your cover letter, including a couple of key accomplishments, but it's going to be up to you to customize that for each employer that you apply to. There's really no such thing as a generic cover letter.
One of the things that we do is almost like what you do. You have an opening, you have a closing. It's pretty standard stuff. You want an opening in your cover letter that's kind of jaw-breaking sentence to catch their attention. But we use the middle of that cover letter to tell a story, one of their share stories. that's related only to something that you've done research on that company and know they have a problem with. If you know that they're flagging in sales in the X district, or their 10K shows that they're planning expansion in this area, then you ought to have something in there about how you expanded something, how you did something relevant to what their needs are. That's different than the resume, which is a reverse chronological listing of your accomplishments and all of the key things that go in there. But cover letter gives you a chance, like you said, to customize to that company and their needs. Very important.
Yeah, I think it really is. I mean, what some people, a classic approach is the old T-account cover letter, where you put on the left side your requirements and on the right side my accomplishments. And that can work also. I recommend at least doing that as a worksheet before you write the letter. One thing I get a lot is people send me, or I'll ask people for a job description of the kind of job they're applying for, and they send me a job that they have absolutely no.
Yep.
You know, sometimes people go away, and I don't get the business that way. When I ask them, show me where you're a match for this job, and they just go like, da-da-da-da-da, let me call you back, and I don't hear from them again. But you know what? Maybe that's a customer that would not have been a happy customer anyway, because they would have not have gotten interviews for those categories of jobs, and they would not recommend me because I didn't get them the interviews. Well, they weren't qualified for the job.
I had a similar situation not long ago. We had an open position among several in our routine search division, and this one client kept coming back and back and back. But I am qualified, and he was in no way qualified. He might have been a squirrel, but he sure was not a fuzzy left-handed purple squirrel, I can tell you that. And my company was very, very exact about what they wanted. We placed the position and found qualified applicants. He just wasn't among them, but it's hard sometimes for people to get that rejection. They think they can do everything for everybody, and they can't. Some people get it in their head that their skills are so universal they can do everything for everybody. It's a real shame.
It is, yeah. I mean, and, you know, those are the people with a very hard time getting jobs because they're not applying for the right jobs.
Folks, our guest today has been Frank Grossman. Wonderful conversation. Thank you for joining us today, Frank.
Thanks for joining us. If you wish to speak with Fred or you want a transcript of this interview, send an email to podcast@stuartcoopercoon.com. See you soon.